Can you hear me? Oh yeah, this is a bit loud. Okay, that's good. I'm glad to be here again with us this morning. And thank you, English congregation, and thank you, church leadership, for the privilege to be speaking with us today. Today's topic is, Help Me, O Lord, in My Afflictions. How many of you goes through seasons of ups and downs? Yeah, okay. How many of you are constantly on the mountaintop? No, the truth of the matter is life on earth brings us through roller coasters. Today I'm going to speak with the same text in the English service as well as the same text in the Chinese service later, the Cantonese service. But the theme that I will deliver at the Cantonese service is different from the English service. I am feeling that some of the things that we will cover in the Cantonese service will be just as relevant to us in the English service. So if you have time after the service, I encourage you to go to the Cantonese service. I will deliver that in English and Pastor Derek will translate it for me and hopefully it will be something that is useful for the church as well. Instead of the normal Bible exposition today, Is it okay if I go out of the norm? Yeah, thank you. Well, even if it is not okay, I'm going to do it anyway. My primary question for us this morning is, how authentic are we as followers of Christ? How authentic are we as fellow travelers with one another in this church? Authenticity is much easier to conceive in the mind than it is to live out satisfactorily. The story was told of a little Johnny who was with his parents and they were attending the baptism of their second child in church. So on the journey after the service, Johnny was in the car and he was crying, he was sobbing. And his father was very puzzled because it was supposed to be a joyous occasion. The second brother was being baptized. But he was sobbing all the way in a car and his father asked, Johnny, why are you crying? And little Johnny replied, the pastor said he wanted us to be raised in a Christian home. But I really love you all very much. Okay, very few of you get the joke. Let me try again. No. The pastor said, Johnny said, I want to be raised in, the pastor said in the service, those of you who want to be raised in a Christian room, please raise your hands. And I want your brother and you, Johnny, to be raised in a Christian home. But little Johnny said, but I love my parents and I want to be with my parents. Do you get it? The truth is, we can all recount scenarios that we know ourselves to be less than authentic. There are some adults in this room. Well, there are mostly adults in this room. A pastor or a church leader enters the building smiling on a Sunday. And I'm sure some of us can relate to that. Growing up in your family situation. Just before the car enters the driveway, there was quarreling in the car. Or the day before. Just the day before, for the umpteenth times, the church leader was fighting with his children about their preoccupation with screen time, with their lack of interest in studies, and with their refusal to clean the toilets regularly than is expected of them. Is that a regular scenario? Okay, a few smiles here and there. Now, if this incident were to be shared with a typical Singaporean, I'm a Singaporean, with a typical Singaporean Chinese church, the audience who had no tale or tale about what had transpired in the family relationships would very quickly jump at the suggestion on how to diffuse the situation of tension. the tension in the household, the tension of the lack of willingness of parties to compromise, to give in to one another, the tension on the relational dynamics, the tension on identity and self-worth, and so forth. Now, resolving the tension is not what I'm going to talk to us today. But I would like us to consider, with this scenario, how can we be real in our struggles and yet be authentic in church? How many of you feel that sometimes you put on masks in church? Come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Only a few? Really? Really? Okay. I do. Sometimes I feel that too. You know? Authenticity and being real in church. Now, I would like to shift the gear today to talk about the struggles of the next generation. Now, so the surveys have been conducted about next generation in Asian churches, Asian families, and especially next gen in migrant churches living in the Western Hemisphere. And they found that the next gen in migrant churches, they tend to see migrant churches and migrant church families as dysfunctional and hypocritical. I see a few smiles there. And sometimes next gen tend to find their parents a bit inauthentic, a bit hypocritical. They have seen that many times in their household. And by sharing this, I don't mean to pin the blame on the parents, okay? Yeah, just a fact of life, right? We go through seasons of ups and downs. And the parents say, we prioritize God and we prioritize the church. We are committed to the church. How many of you have heard that regularly in your household? But sometimes when they look at their schedules and their activities, the first thing that they dropped off the radar is church activities. So we prioritize God and we prioritize church, but they will shift their schedules and church gets dropped off the radar very quickly. And then they say we prioritize and we support the outreach ministry of the church. They say that with their lips, and sometimes when churches organize outreach activities, the parents are nowhere to be found. And it is always the young people doing all the work. Right? Okay. And then they put on smiles on Sundays, but for the rest of their week, they are grumpy. The saying goes, right? Monkey see, monkey do. So the next generation, Asians, Chinese, in these churches tend to struggle with the polarities. And if I may simply put it this way, the survey tells us that Asian second gen, Chinese second gen in migrant churches could fall anywhere on the spectrum. And most of the time, the spectrum is between two extremes. On the one extreme is the next gen in Chinese churches are quiet and reserved. They learned at home to minimize vocalizing their thoughts, their feelings, their opinions. Am I alone? They don't do that because they know they will be shot down anyway by the elders who just simply won't listen to them and who simply must have the last word of everything. Now, they learned as a matter of the journey that they will fit the mold that is given to them, and then they will journey along. They fit the mold, they exhibit the characteristics that they must exhibit, the expectations and the behavior outwardly. So outwardly, I am alright, I am smiling, I'm obedient, I'm nice, I'm kind, but they will give you all the right answers to everything that you ask them. My youngest child, when he was growing up, he says that every question that you ask in church, his answer is Jesus. Answer is always right. So they will answer all the right questions, but inside they struggle. They are not convinced in their heart. They basically chose the path of least resistance outwardly, but inwardly they resent, they resist. Now, of course, they resist for a number of reasons. Sometimes they resist because they are unsure of who they are. Their identity is still being shaped. Now, a lot of middle-aged men and women are still struggling with our identity, yeah? So let alone the younger folks who are coming up in their 15s, in their 20s, in their early 30s. But they are adamant. I don't want to be like my parents. I don't want to be like them who carry masks around. But they struggle. This next gen struggle with internal disequilibrium. But they cannot show it, so they look cool on the outside. Right? They look cool on the outside. They also recognize that because they grew up in church, they see disagreements that happen often in Chinese churches. They don't like those conflicts. So they choose conflict avoidance. Anytime there is a potential conflict coming up, they disappear from the radar. Now, though they are like folks that are cut with a cookie cutter, in truth, the tension between the generations are often felt and described as a clash of cultures and values. Basically, they are nothing like their parents. Most of the parents and middle ages, you live through seasons of scarcity, right? And some of your grandparents have lived through the Great Depression and the wars. You know what it is like to not have enough, to struggle. I was brought up in a family that often does not have enough. When I was 10, I have to go out to work. Well, when I was 15, I was doing accounts. When I was in university, I worked full time, studied full time, and I slept 1 hour a day for almost 2.5 years just to get by, because family life was difficult. But the next gen don't have that struggle. The next gen, if I may say it this way, and please hear my heart, you are a privileged lot. From the time you were born to now, you have never suffered any major lack. You don't have to work through your schooling years. Agree? And when you attend extracurricular activities, you don't have to pay for them. Your parents will readily pay for them. Right? Now, your families may not be very, very wealthy, but at least it felt like your life is served on a silver platter. Many next generation have succeeded to negotiate with their parents to do minimum household chores. Okay. Parents struggle and they quit quarreling with their children to do household chores. They will end up doing the chores themselves because they don't want to fight with their children. And their children just got happy and contented on their screen time. I just came back from Melbourne. And in one of my Melbourne trips and activities, was meeting a group of next generation folks, as well as next generation parents. And one of the next generation parents recount how their youngsters who have now grown up and become adults have different values and ideas. And this parent was lamenting that their child have no qualms spending $200 on one of the online purchasers on a shirt that is supposed to be eco-friendly, because they support eco-friendly development. So in their mind, we don't want to spend the same shirt that costs $5 in a mall. They don't want. They want to spend $200 because if I spend $5, I am contributing to exploitation of the poor in third world countries. But they will spend $200. So the parents couldn't understand the mind of this shifting generation who embrace a certain idealism that is right in their mind, that is right. But the same shirt that costs $5 and more, it is supporting exploitation, but $200 is all right. they will not think twice about discarding gadgets that no longer work. Agree? But if you ask the parents' generation, the 15-year-old laptop is still being used. Right? Okay. Yeah. Or if you're like me, carry an 8-year-old mobile phone. And then my son will be like scratching his head. Why? Right? Okay. In time, they graduate. Now, they have been brought up with a lot of privilege. They could be paid through schools. They have good education. So, of course, with good education, they enter the workforce. And instead of entering the workforce as a white blue-collar worker, they enter the workforce as a white-collar worker. And because they enter the workforce as a white-collar worker, they are well-paid. They are comfortable. They get frustrated at work. Yes, do you get frustrated at work? You do, right? Yeah, yeah. And they get us frustrated. But frustration at work is alright. Because the problem is no longer that of survival. If I'm not happy with this job, I just quit. I find another job. I don't mind transiting for a while. Okay, I speak to someone there. Okay. Now this is one extreme, right? One extreme of the next gen. Now let me tell you the next extreme. Okay, the next extreme of the next gen, especially if they do not like the more of the next gen, they don't want to fit in, and they will live exactly like that. They are being perceived as they really are, idealistic. I live by the dream of supporting eco environment, so I'll spend $200 instead of $5 on one shirt. But because they are often the misunderstood lot, so they will be labeled by the parents and by others as radicals. Because I can't understand you. Right? That's how they will be. The whole cohort is then labeled as misfits. Misfits. You are not fitting with the mold that we expect of you. They want to be free from their parents' control. So, in some of these migrant churches in Western Hemisphere, you see a mass exodus of the second gen. In some of these churches, the second gen just simply disappeared from the horizon of this Asian, especially Chinese churches. Because it's like ridiculous. Why do I want to fit the mold that's not me? Now, some of them decided that, well, we believed in the gospel. We believed that what is right. So let's try to come together and organize ourselves as a church. And for those who succeed in organizing themselves as a church for the next gen, some successes in the US, some successes in Australia, they tend to exhibit these characteristics. They will disassociate themselves from the label of Chinese. They look like you and I. We are yellow skin. Sometimes we call them bananas. They are yellow skin on the outside, but they are actually white on the inside. So they will disassociate themselves from the Chinese label, and then they will try to hang around with Western folks, but eventually they gravitate back to Asians. Because they realize that there is limited acceptance on the other side as well. Now, despite their denial about who they are really experiencing a crisis of identity as they remake themselves in a new mold and not wanting to be the mold of their parents. And this identity crisis can be described in a few questions. Here are their cries. Who am I? Am I being loved? Because my parents constantly say, you pick up from the rubbish one. So, am I being loved by my parents? But they're constantly yelled at and scolded at growing up. From young to, you know, they are now adults already, you know. The parents still cannot hold their tongue. And you always say, 你这个没有出息的. You this useless bum, right? So, am I being loved? Who am I? Then the next struggle they have is, do I embrace my race? Do I embrace my heritage? Do I embrace my Chinese-ness? Because there's so much about the Chinese characteristics and that I don't really like and I don't want them. I don't want to be associated with that. But do I embrace that? Who am I? Chinese are quite monocultural. We stick with our own kind. Likewise, in Cantonese culture, we stick among our own kind. So the other struggle they have is, am I monocultural or am I multicultural? Who am I? And then they struggle, do I assimilate? Where do I assimilate with? Do I assimilate into the Chinese culture that I don't like, but that is really me? Or do I assimilate into a Western culture and try to be like them, but they are not me? Or do I accept the fact that I will always be the marginalized one, no matter where I am? I am a misfit everywhere. Can you feel the agony and the pain of this identity? Am I speaking to anyone there? Okay, I see a few smiles. And then when they attend Chinese churches, migrant churches, the constant question they ask themselves in their heart is, the sermons feel strange. Am I being fed spiritually? Because they say the same thing, they rehearse the same thing again and again, but they see all the inconsistencies all throughout. And they struggle. I'm not being fed in church, but why do I attend? The identity crisis that they have. They are challenged as a group of people because in their intergenerational space, they are wanting true discipleship. But they don't find the right models for them. They struggle to develop themselves as a cluster and find leadership and opportunities for them. And they have to constantly navigate the minefield of being judged and at the same time being insulted, sometimes intentionally, at other times unintentionally, especially when they speak with older church people from the parent congregation. So I've just described to you the two extremes of the next gen. Now, no matter what question I ask you, next gen, please don't raise your hands, okay? I wonder, where are you, CACC English congregation? I wonder, for the English congregation, have you been reserved amongst yourself because you observe certain trends that are happening in church and with your own internal struggle, and you chose to respond the way you did in church on a Sunday and in your small groups? I wonder if newcomers that come into your midst have a difficulty assimilating with you because you have been reserved yourself. I wonder if you feel like you are offering superficial conversations because you truly struggle with all the things that I've described of the next gen. Now, the message is entitled, O Lord, help me in my afflictions. O Lord, help me in my afflictions. Now, perhaps to title a sermon like this may be a little bit too strong for the next gen. Perhaps you do not struggle about your identity, your belonging, and who you are. Or perhaps you are truly struggling, but you are keeping it inside because of what you see in the big culture of CACC or in your different clusters. But I'm sure in one way or another, we can relate with the dysfunction and with the inauthenticity. And here's where Psalm 10 will be a help for us, I hope. I hope Psalm 10 will be a guide as you find the cure from inauthenticity, to, especially in a culture, a Chinese culture of pay attention to guanxi and the face. Psalm 10 is basically an honest outpouring before God for a soul that is in a state of perpetual pain and despair. Perhaps in your own prayers growing up, in your own journey into adulthood, in a second-gen migrant congregation, you have your own struggles that you find it too difficult to disclose to anyone, even your cohorts. In the prayer, the psalmist revealed his struggles, his pain, his utter helplessness in his situation. Hear this, hear the text. Why do you stand afar off, O God? That's verse 1. That means it's been a long wait, Father. Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Why haven't you come to my aid? How many of you have prayed the prayers and said, God, why haven't you helped me in my situation of conflict with my parents or in my church? Verses 2 to 11 basically was the psalmist complaining to God about the tension that they have. Locating that in your own situation would be the tension that you have with the older generation. Oh, how miserable my life is. Basically, that's what it is. Verse 2. In pride, my parents hotly pursues me, never lets me go. I am the afflicted one. Verse 3. He boasts. Verse 4. He does not seek God, because all that comes out of his mouth are, I'm the parent, my way is the right way. Just you and submit. Verse 7, his mouth is full of, okay, let's strike off some of them. His mouth is a bit deceitful, a bit dishonest. And actually, I felt like I'm the one that is being oppressed in the family or in the church. Oops, did I say that? Is his faith genuine? Verse 12, arise, O Lord, lift up your hands, do not forget me in my affliction. Can you please intervene, God? There's no help at this point in time. Verse 14. Lord, you have seen it. You have seen all the pains, all the mischief, all the vexation. You see all that transpires. Lord, you are the helper of the afflicted. You have helped others. Can you please come to my aid? Verse 16. The Lord Almighty, you are King forever. Nations perish from his land. Lord, nothing is too difficult for you. Surely the tension I have with my older gen is no problem to you. Verse 17. O Lord, you have heard the desires of the humble. Lord, search my heart, know my motives. Lord, you will give strength in my heart. You incline your ear to hear me. Meaning that in the midst of the despair, he's still wondering, the next gen is wondering, there is hope in God. I can have hope in God, can I? Because you will vindicate me, the oppressed, and my parents will no longer cause me terror. The prayer reveals this, that the psalmist was caught in a situation that many in the next gen felt. They wanted out, but they could not. Especially in some ways, they know that their parents love them. It's just that their parents love them in a strange way. The double bind felt like what next gen in migrant churches are normally going through. They are unhappy in the situation of being put in situations of the mask of inauthenticity that they put on regularly. They feel like they cannot vocalize their frustrations with the problems that they see in their church. They feel like the elders constantly call them ungrateful and disrespectful. So they suppress their thoughts. They grow more resentful. They became superficial. But inwardly, they struggle and they became reserved more and more. And if they succeed, they succeed at huddling together. So there's a common rivalry between the next gen that you felt, because you all understand the struggle, but you don't vocalize it. In some strange ways, you felt so connected and together. Now, the antidote for inauthenticity is transparency. Transparency, not just in the privacy of your own thoughts and your own heart, but privacy in a public setting. The context for verse 10 is prayer. We said that earlier. But this prayer is not the private prayer that you offer to God in the closet of your own prayer room, but it is in a public prayer. Why do I say that? Because Psalm 10 is connected with Psalm 9. Yes? So it comes together as a block, if you understand how texts are grouped together. So, Psalm 9, at the beginning of Psalm 9 has an inscription. The inscription says, a Psalm of David for the choir director. So for the choir director tells me that Psalm 9 and Psalm 10 are grouped together, it is like when I'm preparing this message, I will have to give the topic and the theme to the worship team so that they will align the songs that they choose, hopefully with the theme that I will speak on. So for the choir director, it was written as a liturgy of prayer. It was written in the context that this prayer, their own internal struggles of despair, is not in the closet time with God, but in the context of public worship with God. Now, if you want to see CACC English congregation becoming more and more authentic, becoming more and more real, my encouragement to you next gen, in this space and in this space, is risk the misunderstanding. Take the risk to be judged by your parents' generation. Start to share honestly, not just with a cluster of one or two, but share collectively. Be honest. Authenticity grows with candid sharing. More and more. If one person were to vocalize it, the next will vocalize it, and the other will vocalize it. Now, sometimes you hear that we hear testimonies in church. Oftentimes the testimony will begin with how bad I was. Here was my situation and how I overcame. I am a victor. I have triumphed over my situation. Yes? Now, do you know that the most authentic sharing is not the victory? Because sometimes when somebody share you the testimony, they only give you a glimpse of what happened in the months and sometimes in the years and the decades that they were struggling. But we don't hear the decades of their struggle, of their roller coaster, of their ups and downs. We only hear the Jesus help me, I am triumphant. And then the rest of us sitting there were wondering, oh God, where are you in my afflictions? Authenticity does not mean sharing your victory. Authenticity means sharing where you are in your pain and where you are in your struggles and in your lament. If we are careful to attend to the prayer that is offered in Psalm 10, I challenge you, you will not find the triumphant report in Psalm 10. There was no triumphant report. There was no victory at the juncture when that was being offered to God. So whatever testimonies that you are, whatever struggles that you have, next gen, in your faith, in your family life, in your church life, in your personal tension with yourself, your identity, do I want to be assimilated or can I accept the fact that I am the marginalized lot? It is okay. It is okay that you have no answers at the point when you share candidly with each other. So here's what I'm going to do. In a desire to encourage a culture of authenticity amongst the English congregation, not just in your private little corner, but in a public service, I would like to risk being judged. And this is a very risky thing to do in a Chinese church. Because in a Chinese church, the pastor or the full-time minister, the supposed man of God, is supposed to be someone who has overcome all his or her challenges. And in Chinese churches, if the minister were to share his struggle, he will be regarded as you are no longer fit or credible for ministry. Now, in the interest of wanting to cultivate authenticity, I'm going to share just one sector of my struggle with God about my sense of call. Is that all right? Yeah, thank you. Well, even if it's not all right, I'm going to do it anyway. Now, I know that in some strange ways, God has called me into New Zealand and God wants me to serve New Zealand Chinese churches. And not just New Zealand Chinese churches in the broader sphere, but also the next generation of New Zealand Chinese churches. I know that in my heart, that's clear. But I have a lot of hesitancy. On Friday, some of you have heard some of the hesitancies. I'm going to unpack that a little bit more. I have this hesitancy about saying yes to serving as a pastor in a Chinese church. And amongst my reservations, there are six of them. The first of them is very, very often Chinese churches tend to hold very dogmatic views about what they believe are inerrantly revealed in the Bible. And by the way, just to dispel some assumptions there, I do subscribe to the teachings of Scripture and I submit myself as a student of Scripture. And also because of years of studying the Scriptures, I have come to a place in my own journey at Walk with God that I'm no longer a fundamentalist. I'm an evangelical, but a very broad evangelical. But Chinese churches tend to hold very dogmatic views about what is inerrantly taught in Scripture. Quite fundamentalistic. Second, Chinese churches, as with very conservative evangelical churches in the Western Hemisphere, are very quick to label others who disagree with their very narrow streak of what is right and what is true and what is taught in Scripture, to label those who disagree with them as heretics. And even to the point of calling them false teachers. Very, very quick. I am much more willing to draw from the breadth and the depth and the wells of the wide Christian traditioning to correct our assumptions. We all have assumptions about faith and about truth. To correct our assumptions, to correct our own arrogance. We believe that we are right and others are wrong. No, other traditions have much to teach us about what we think we are right and actually we are wrong. And I'm much willing to learn from traditions to correct my own ignorance. The mystery and the inexhaustibility of the faith in the unique and the inexhaustible God, the incomprehensible God, is such that our faith in God cannot be confined very narrowly and scripted so carefully as if we are putting God in a box. Because if we put God in a box, then this God is a God made in my image and not we submitting to the God of the incomprehensible. That means, even with the certainty of faith that I have, there is much more scope that I do not know and do not understand. And Chinese churches struggle to understand that. Chinese churches tend to expect their pastor to model, I said earlier, perfectly the man of God. And expect their pastors to carry an unreasonable load and workload. And often with an income that is way below market rate. Now I know myself too well and my family knows me too well that I'm only an ordinary man with my own imperfections, with my own warts. Can I disclose this to you? I went on a trip to Melbourne to teach in a seminary. But the day before, You would think that someone like me who have been in full-time ministry for 23 years, I'm at the mountaintop. But the day before I made my trip to Melbourne, I actually was screaming at God. God, why do you let me do this? It is not within my gifts and my capabilities. My script is in English and I have to deliver it in Mandarin and I have to translate it and I struggle. Can I be honest? Our faith takes us at different dimensions. I'm not a perfect man. I have my own struggle with myself. I have my own struggle with God. Why God put me in a unique setting as New Zealand, as if I am being sent into obscurity. And yet to have to serve Chinese churches that I am like, no. But to serve Next Gen, yes, very excited about it. But with all that struggle, I know I'm not the perfect man of God. But Chinese churches cannot accept that. In many migrant Chinese churches, there is an unspoken view that their family, they are supposed to have the perfect marriage and their children in the family must be the model family. I mean, don't we all read scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5? That for the men of God, they must manage their household well, keep their children under control. That is, keep their children perfectly respectful, perfectly well-behaved. And if not, how can he take care of the house of God when his house is not in order? Have you heard that before? Yeah. Like any other person in this room, you will know very, very well, and I know myself very well, that even as a full-time religious worker and as a pastor, I have no control over how my children will choose. And I'm not supposed to coerce them. Now, if I were to put my family and myself to go through this unrealistic scrutiny of the perfect marriage and the perfect children and the perfect family, that is unrealistic. My fifth struggle. Strangely, should a Chinese pastor disclose in his message and in his conduct, as I have done today, that I have my struggles with God, I have my own imperfections, I have my own area that is still learning to surrender to God, somehow in the eyes of Chinese churches, it is all right for members to have that struggle, but you are the pastor. You are supposed to be the model for us all. He will lose that credibility. The truth is, my brothers and sisters, wherever you are today, next gen especially, vulnerability confirms to us just one thing. We are all humans. And as humans, we struggle in our seasons of life. Help me, God, with my afflictions. We are all work in progress. I don't know where you are today in your journey. If you are at the valley, I want to encourage you, it is all right to struggle. It is all right. I want to encourage you, the next gen, if you feel like you have difficulty vocalizing that with your parents and you struggle with that, it is all right to have that struggle. You are not being disobedient. You're just learning to discover yourself and in that space, get comfortable in your own skin. It is all right to struggle before God. The thing that upset me the most about serving in Chinese churches is this. There are a lot of conflicts. And in a lot of conflicts is natural because being part of sharing life together, there will always be things that we do not agree. The problem is in Chinese churches, stakeholders in Chinese churches will do a few things in situations of conflict. One, they will work the relationships. They will twist the arm of whoever that are in power or put themselves indirectly in that space and use ungodly power dynamics to get their way, such as what we found in Psalm 10 verses 7 and 9. They are deceitful and some of the ways are downright wicked and dishonorable. In his mouth is full of deceit and mischief and oppression. He looks at the hiding spaces and to catch the afflicted. And the funny thing with that is in a lot of Chinese settings, the majority can see very clearly what is ungodly, what is not right. And what do they choose to do? They choose to keep quiet. Mai ngo si ya. Even though it is not honorable before the sight of God. The right thing to do in situations of conflict is to submit to due process in accordance to a constitution if it is drafted properly. And then to stay away from conflicts of interest in times of deliberation and decision making. And then to listen to the Holy Spirit rather than to listen to the one that is twisting your arm. Submitting to the teachings of Scripture and seeking godly conferment, not dishonorable conferment, and making God-honoring decisions. So here's where I am in my struggle of my faith. God, for some strange reason, you shaped me to be a misfit. I'm ordained in a Western denomination. But for some reason, God wants me to serve between the Western denomination and Chinese denominations and with the complexity of Chinese politics, church politics, ungodly tactics, and to serve the next gen who are in a painful zone of how to bridge that space. And I say, God, how do I do that? My next gen, brothers and sisters in the English congregation, how can we be authentic followers of Jesus Christ and as fellow travelers with one another and be real with our internal struggles and help our parents' generation and our whole church come along to embrace godliness and authenticity? I think the burden of the call, in some ways, is upon us. Because we live through all the shackles of superficiality. And we can see where the parents encourage us, but we can also see where we can prod them along to be more authentic as fellow disciples of Christ. And I think that is just as well the burden of call for the next gen. Even as you seek to find your own space with God in your own time for your own generation. Life is always life doesn't occur in a linear direction. Passed on to us the faith, and then we carry on to the next generation. There's always an overlapping effect. Just this week, I was having some conversation with my eldest son, and in that conversation, I learned about where I am wrong and where I have to be, where I have to retune and realign. And that space can happen for you, the next gen. So do not allow your elders to put you down. You are a person in your own right, in your own identity. The question is how to morph that. As we think through the question of authenticity, I have unpacked Psalm 10 for us. And I hope you will see, as I do see, that Psalm 10 is the antidote for curing this ingenuity. That is learning to share honestly our struggles, not in a private space, but in a public context of worship. In other words, in the context of church life, communal life. The psalmist's prayer contained a breakthrough for the discerning. If we dare become vulnerable before God and others, we will grow confidently to recognize the heart of God and to release the power of God. Here's what we see towards the end of Psalm 10. God, you have seen the mischief and the vexation. You have been the helper of the oppressed. Lord, you will break the arms of the evildoer. You will seek out his wickedness until you find none. In other words, God will purify, God will cleanse, God will sanctify. And the Lord is king forever. The nations will perish, meaning God reigns. The Lord have heard the desires of the humble. God, you will strengthen their heart. That was the prayer. That was the prayer that God will hear. That God, you will give strength. And the next gen, boy, we do need strength. We do need strength to stand up to forces that attempt to put us down knowingly and unknowingly. And God will give us the wisdom to do so. Because God is the God that vindicates. Now I come towards the end of this message today. I want to ask a very simple question at the end. And as I ask this simple question, I'd like to invite every eyes to be closed. Please honor and respect one another. Please close your eyes. Thank you very much. Now, for a message as this, I wonder, are you sick and tired of pretending and wearing masks and not growing authentically in church? If that is you, I would like you to raise your hands. Are you sick and tired of pretending of wearing masks and not growing authentically? If that's you, I'd like you to raise your hands. Thank you. I see a few hands there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may put it down. Let's come together to God and ask God to help us to break the shackles of this ingenuity so that we can be real before God. Spirit of the living God, we come before you this morning. Father, you know where we all are at in our journey. For my brothers and sisters who have the courage to respond and raise their hands. For my brothers and sisters who struggle in one way or another with a message as I have delivered today. Lord, you see them all. You see the pain. You see the tensions. You see the desire, you see the identity in the making that we struggle with. Lord, nothing is hidden from you. You are the God who is more than able. You are the God who is all powerful. You are the God who is near, who empathizes with our pain and our afflictions. But you also are a God who knows our future and our end. So we invite you, God, as we have come before you time and again at different spaces before. God, as with the psalmist, help us in our afflictions. Help us to break the mold of just conforming to the expectations that the older generation have for us. Help us to be our own persons before you. As we allow your word to reshape us, as we allow our time spent with you to allow your spirit to transform us, and as we allow you to do that solemn and holy work in our hearts, that being right with you, having found that space of acceptance before your presence, that we can be comfortable in our own skin, with our struggles, with our highs and with our lows, and be who we are, with you, for our fellow brothers and sisters, for our church. Father, we pray for the parent congregation. We pray for the seniors in this church. We pray for our seniors in our families, that though in many ways they struggle to relate with us and not knowing how to respond, and sometimes they just couldn't help themselves, Lord, will you also do that transformation in their hearts to allow your spirit to do that completing and sanctifying work in their lives. Father, help CACC, English and Cantonese congregation, together as one church, to be an unblemished church before you, fully accepted by you, and fully living out the beauty of body life, holding each other in high regard and in mutual respect and accountability. Not one above the other, not one superior or better than the other, but recognize that we are all but imperfect pilgrims on this earth. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for answering them in your time. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you for bearing with me.